Coffee with Kenobi presents Resistance Reactions.
All pilots to your station.
You ready?
Let's do this.
Kasuda, good luck on tomorrow's big race.
I don't need luck.
Here we go.
You can't handle the hype. Line them up.
Follow my signals.
Get ready to be impressed.
When it comes to your mission at the spot, I don't have anything to do with it.
The First Order is clearly making weapons.
We're going to need all the help we can get.
I want the station completely destroyed.
It's been too long since we've seen some action.
You showing up always means trouble.
And now, here are your hosts, Aaron Harris and David Modders.
Oh, this is exciting. I appear to be tingling all over.
Well, hello there, and welcome back to Resistance Reactions. I am Aaron Harris, one of your hosts here on Resistance Reactions, and we have a phenomenal show today. We have an excellent episode to review. We got some news out of Toy Fair from this past weekend. So we got a lot to cover. So without further ado...
Welcome back, buddy.
That's right. David Modders is back. Our co-host, my wingman. How are you doing, buddy?
Very good. Very good. Ready to fly as always. How are you?
I am doing well, my friend. Doing well. Had a long weekend with the work in the Daytona 500, but it was quite the experience and recovering nicely, I should say. So how was you? How was your weekend?
Well, good. Not as busy as yours. not even close to as busy as yours. But it was just chores all day. It was the first Saturday we were home in quite a while. So it worked out really well. Just got things done. And I know my wife felt better about it. And I did too. So just getting things done. And then, of course, enjoying Resistance on Sunday.
Excellent. Excellent. Yes. Definitely a great episode to enjoy. I didn't get to enjoy it till Monday because I was literally at the racetrack at the Daytona International Speedway from literally 7:20 a.m. till about 9:30 that night. Then I had a two-hour drive home in front of me after that. So, yeah, I watched it Monday and loved the episode. So, yeah, really good. Well, and we'll get into our review of the core problems here shortly. But we got some Resistance news here that has come out this weekend. Of course, not only did we have a new episode of Star Wars Resistance, we also had the 2019 New York Toy Fair going on as well. So a lot of a few Resistance themed news came out of there. Some of them we've hit on throughout the past couple weeks for rumors. But let's go ahead and jump on that. Looks like Hasbro did confirm the Resistance Hot Wheel toys with the ships, the Fireball, Blue Ace, which is Taurus ship, and of course Green Ace, which is Hype Faison's ship, coming out soon. So we got those been announced, and gorgeous pictures of those, which our friends over at Yak Face Forum posted up for us, which are gorgeous. You can see those in our Twitter feed. Have you had a chance to look at those ships?
I have. I was taking a peek at them. I love the colors. I love the ships. And just like we've mentioned, in previous episodes, I hope this is a sign of things to come. More and more Resistance kinds of toys. So, yeah, they look really cool.
They really do. They really do. They look great. I love the details they've got in on they have on them. They look really sharp. The colors are popping just like they do on the show. I hope they round out the list of ships, with a Von Reg TIE Fighter and Poe's X-Wing, and then of course there has to be get the rest of the aces. I really would love to get Griff Halloran's Black Ace up there.
Oh,
yeah. That would just be absolutely awesome. But to hold me over till Hasbro does that, Lego made official some news that we had heard rumors about, which is we are getting some Star Wars Resistance Lego sets.
I saw you tweeting about them.
Yeah, I tweeted some of those there. Justin LaSalata posted those. Of course, works for our friends over at Jedi News UK. He was at Toy Fair and posted some great shots of those. First one, of course, and you can see all these retweeted through our Toy Fair or through our Twitter feed. First one, of course, is the Black Ace, which we just talked about. Griff Halloran's Black Ace was there. Comes with three minifigures. Of course, BB-8, Poe Dameron, and Griff Halloran. Now, one thing I am noticing about these minifigures, Griff is got his slicked back hair, but it doesn't seem like he's coming with his TIE fighter helmet, which is a big part of his flying character there. Oh no, wait, there you go. I just zoomed in on the box a little bit more, and I do see he's wearing his helmet in the box picture, so it's just not in the display they had set up there of the actual set. So he will have his helmet, so forget what I just said. So black Ace is coming, which is awesome. But also the one that I am most excited about, Major Von Regg's Red TIE Fighter is going to be released. And this is going to be a great set. Beautiful set. The black and red TIE Fighter trim is gorgeous. It's coming with four minifigures. Comes with Major Von Regg. It's coming with General Leia, which was quite a surprise considering we've only seen her twice in the show so far. Then of course it comes with Kazuta Ziono. He's getting, Chris Fashan's getting his own minifigure there, so kudos to him. But we're also getting a Bucket minifigure in this set, so we're getting a Bucket, which is awesome. So you're not seeing him a lot in the show, but we are getting his minifigure. So what are your thoughts on these Lego sets?
Well, you and I have been, I've said it, very consistent across episodes. We love Von Regg, the look of him, as well as Pyre. So, you know, seeing that set, I think you were tweeting about that, how your wallet's going to take a real hit. It's great. I just can't believe how many minifigs they're putting in these. Four in the one and three in the other. So that's really cool. I very much want to get the Von Regg one. I love that character. I loved it in this episode, seeing him and his ship again. So definitely love that. And of course, Steven Stanton is Griff Halloran. I saw him tweeting a bit about that. He was pretty geeked about it, Lego was coming out with a Black Ace. Mm-hmm. So very, very cool looking stuff, man.
Oh, it's gonna be great. It's gonna be awesome. I'm loving it. And this will be number three, number two or number three for Steven Stanton when it comes to Lego minifigures, because he's got the
Emeritus. Does he have?
Oh, yeah, he's got Raddus. He's got. Oh my gosh, Tarkin.
Oh,
the Tarkin minifigure, which was released with one of the Rebel sets. And then, of course, now he'll have Griff Halloran. So he's up to three on his bucket, on his list of minifigures. And with as many times as he's voiced a Stormtrooper, I'm sure you could say four if you throw a Stormtrooper in there. But
Exactly. Yes.
So kudos to them. I'm really looking forward to those sets. Those are going to be absolutely awesome. I cannot wait to see those and get my hands on those. And you're right, I did post it and I meant it. My wallet is going to hate me when those get released. Nothing I saw online said a date when those were being released, but with the announcement of the Triple Force Friday, which will be coming up in October, I'm expecting that to be the release date.
That makes sense. Yeah. And we would be in most likely the start of the second season.
Exactly. Yeah. So we would be in the ballpark of the second season. But October 4th, Lucasfilm has announced that they will have Triple Force Friday, the latest tradition of product launches. It will have items from, of course, Episode 9, items from The Mandalorian, and the latest title from EA in Respawn, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, will be slated for a holiday release, so we're getting some merchandise, I guess, with that as well. So October 4th, mark your calendars, triple Force Friday. So make sure you get out there and grab the pieces that you want, because I will be searching for all things Rebels and Resistance as always. So
very nice.
Absolutely. All right, so that wraps up our news for the episode. Let's go ahead and jump into the core problem. No, the core problem isn't the name of the episode. It's we don't have any problems, but the core problem was a great episode, of course, which aired on the 17th of February of 2019, written by Kevin Burke and Chris Doc Wyatt. If you recognize those names, they are the same duo who also wrote First Order Occupation a couple episodes ago. So we know the type of work they do. They do great writing, and this was no shortage of that. In this episode, in a nutshell, we have Kaz joining Poe on a mission to check out some new data that Kaz had gotten his hands on that showed that detailed some activity of the First Order out in a system in the outer region, the unknown region. So they head out there to investigate and discover a bunch of broken up planets with no sun. And of course, that during the investigation, they discover that all the planets, of course, are dead or broken. They discover a settlement on a planet, investigate it, wind up encountering a First Order probe droid, which looked absolutely gorgeous, and things got out of hand, things got crazy. First Order TIE fighters along with Von Reg show up, and they barely escape, and then Poe takes off with Kaz, leaving, or not Kaz, he took off with BB-8. That would have made it real interesting.
Yeah.
No, he took off. They did a droid swap and Poe Dameron took off with BB-8, leaving Kaz CB-34. So, great episode. What were your initial thoughts on this episode, David?
Oh my gosh, do we have hours? We don't have hours. We got to get this.
Have an hour.
Right, let's cut. Yeah, we'll get to it here. I wrote down, I love this episode. I just, Kaz and Poe together is just awesome. I've enjoyed it in the previous episodes when they've done this with the Kwaki and Monkey Lizards. I loved Station Theta Black. I just love how patient that Poe is with Kaz. And I love his mentorship. I've said that before in previous episodes. I would even say this. I was watching it again tonight before we recorded, and I love how they even animate Poe and how they move him around, and his lines are perfect. Justin Ridge said it was a highlight of his career to direct Oscar Isaac, and you could see it. He's just, the lines are perfect. And I'm reading the Poe Dameron again, thanks to you and the guys over at Comics with Kenobi. And same thing in the comics, in the animated stuff, and in the movies. It's just so consistent. I love that. I love the action adventure. You mentioned the probe droid. It had kids, like Poe said. It's got kids. And I love the dogfights in space. I love that. I love Poe's ship. And it's really great to see the fireball out there. Also, you know, just the pushing of the story with the First Order wanting the Colossus. You know, here's Kaz telling Poe what's going on. And and I love how Poe said, well, why do they want this? This isn't the biggest fueling station. And Kaz says, I've thought about that. It's maybe not necessarily because it's the biggest one. It's not, but it's more so that the Resistance doesn't have it. And that made a lot of sense. And then I want to talk a little bit that symbol on that temple was the symbol on the children from Tahar on one of their bracelets. And so I caught that really quickly the first time I watched it, saw it much better the second time. You know, one of the thoughts I was going to put out here is here we are returning to, you know, you and I've talked about it, one of the serious serious topics, which is the loss of an entire people group, genocide. And you hear Poe and Kaz talking about it, particularly when Kaz is picking up that Tuca doll. And so here we're seeing the destruction before Starkiller Base fires on all those planets, including Hosnian Prime. And the last little note I have to myself is, why do we not have more Bucket? And particularly moving into the role of BB-8, they switched, obviously, and now Kaz has CB-23, right? Carrie Beck, right? That's what it's, you know, one of the producers of the show, CB. And I guess I wrote down maybe, you know, Bucket is really Yeager's a droid just like BB-8 is Poe's, so maybe they're going to end up here with Kaz having CB-23 instead. But anyways, just a few of my thoughts. I have way more, but there's four areas of the episode that I was focused in on.
Very good, very good. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed this episode as well. I thought it was a great episode, very entertaining, very informative. And you talk about moving the story along. This was right up the alley. It moved us along quite a bit and gave us a general idea of where we are in the timeline coming up to The Force Awakens. A lot of great things to discuss. I thought all the references to past episodes, references to the movie, to The Force Awakens coming up. I loved the Viper droid, the probe droid. You could tell it was just an updated version of the one we saw in Empire Strikes Back. We even saw some of them in Solo and in Rebels. So nice to see them included here. It was just a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. It had a lot of laughs in it as well. Definitely had its comedic elements as well to, again, lighten the mood with all the very deep and serious things they were addressing. That's one thing I do respect about this show is they do with all the things that they are talking about and covering in the show when it comes to, as you mentioned, the genocide of a people, the destruction of planets, the First Order taking over, and the stresses that go along with that. They are handling it very well, and they're softening it. They're making it where kids can understand, but also softening it with the comedy as well. So they're getting their point across and teaching without and still letting them have a good time, which I think is awesome. So great episode. Great episode. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Let's go ahead and jump right into it. First thing I do want to address is the art in this episode. The artwork and the coloring and the lighting in this episode, I have to say, for me, is the best we've seen to date. Every episode is beautiful. Don't get me wrong. Every episode is beautiful. But something about this episode popped for me in that department. Whether it was the opening scene with the TIE Fighters flying over the Colossus with Yeager watching, or Kaz and Poe flying in to the system with no sun and having all these destroyed or half-destroyed planets. Or at the end, Kaz standing on the dock of the Colossus with more TIE Fighters coming over with CB-34 or what is that droid's name? I'm messing it up already.
Well, just think of Carrie Beck. You know, we would see her at times with Andy Gutierrez being interviewed during Rebels recon, but CB-23,
that's it. Yeah. 23. Yeah. I was saying 34 and I knew that wasn't right. So CB-23. So yeah, standing over at CB-23 and more fighters fly over. I mean, it just everything about this, when the fireball was falling out of the sky toward the water, I mean, just everything was just picturesque and absolutely gorgeous. And I cannot say enough about how beautiful and how well animated everything was in this episode.
Oh, completely agree. But you know, one of the things I was thinking about, buddy, was when Kaz and Poe come flying into, I guess what we would say is Tehar. And they land and they see that temple, and the way that they lit that and designed it was just gorgeous looking. I love seeing the X-Wings, Poe's, and then Kaz's fireball land with her lights on. So cool looking. I was looking through the, as you and I have said many times, the episode guide, and they've got, you know, the section where they show you 10 pictures and they tell you the story of that particular episode, but they also have an art gallery, and one of them is on that First Order probe droid, and just looking at it, designed by J.P. Ballmat, and I've seen his name many times. I'm following him on Twitter. It's just really cool. If people want to get a closer up look of this First Order probe droid opened and closed, it's just really neat to see that. So shout out to J.P. Ballmat. So hopefully he would listen to us. I don't know. But I've seen his work, you know, on Rebels as well. But yes, gloriously lit. I know Joel Aaron's working on it. I mean, just beautiful. Like you said, the colors pop. And it took years for the Clone Wars to get better and better and better in their animation. But this feels like they're already doing it in the first year. I mean, are they upping their game already? It's unreal.
Well, you know, they've had years and years and years of practice. I mean, we're talking about a lot of the people working on this show worked on Rebels. They worked on Clone Wars. So they've had this background of quality animation. And, you know, it's not surprising that they can get this, that they launch this show and they improve and get better, not improve because they were phenomenal when it started, but they get better as they go, making tweaks and colorings. I mean, it's just stunningly beautiful. It blows my eyes. So if they could just turn some of those backgrounds into art pieces, they would line my house because they are so picturesque, and some of them are just so, I mean, some of the views from the Colossus, just the open water and the clouds and the beagles are just very relaxing. You know, they're very tranquil.
Even that cargo ship as it's moving under the Colossus, and Kaz and Poe are going to take the fireball down on top of it. I love watching that thing come down through. All of it is just glorious.
Oh, absolutely. It really is. It was very well animated, and great colors. I mean, just everything about it was great. So, I mean, hats off to everybody, Amy Beth Christensen, Joel Aaron, Keith Kellogg, everybody who works on this, on animating this show. Bravo. Simply said, bravo. They just are stunning, and oh man, this is I can already say that they deserve an Emmy for what for the art that they're doing. So it's just it's perfect. It's well done. Enough said about it. It's all you can really say. You know, it leaves you speechless seeing some of this stuff. So,
well, I think Aaron tying in the beauty of the artwork with the story, with the characters, and we're going to see a lot more people watching Resistance. I mean, you and I have said this. Just give it some time, and we've given it time, and it is looking better and better and better. I love where their story's going. I love it when Poe's in there. And, you know, now I'm sitting there wondering when they're going to show Hux's speech. Is it going to be the season finale? Are they going to do it prior to that? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, but again, I hope more and more people will watch this. And the beautiful art is just one reason why. One of many reasons.
Oh, absolutely. And my money is it's going to be at the part of the season finale. But that's just my thoughts there. But yeah, no, it's going to be great. And if people aren't watching this show, they have no clue what they're missing. Because it is quite fun. It's quite enjoyable. And it furthers the story along more. I will say this, it is pushing the story of the Resistance along more than I anticipated. I was expecting it to have, when I found out what this show was coming on and what it was doing, I had my expectations of what was going to happen and how they were going to do it, and they've exceeded it on every level so far. It's not turning out anything how I expected, and I absolutely love it.
Well said, my friend. Well said.
It's as simple as that. So, perfect. So, let's of course continue on here because there's a lot to cover in this episode. We have the return of Poe Dameron, voiced by the great and extremely talented Oscar Isaac. He shows up on the Colossus, sneaks aboard, really, and we got great things going on there, and it ends up surprising Kaz, and he's there for a very specific reason, and it's something that we mentioned earlier, tying right into the movie. He is there not only to follow up on Kaz, but he's there for BB-8. He wants to take BB-8 back with him because he needs him on a very important mission that he just got from General Leia, which has him departing for Jakku.
Yes.
Now, if that doesn't tell you how close we are to The Force Awakens, I don't know what does. Of course, we know this movie opens up with Poe Dameron on Jakku, meeting with Lord...
Lord Santaka.
Santaka. I was reversing it, and I'm like, I know that doesn't sound right. Lord Santaka. And so we know what his mission is, to locate the map to find Luke Skywalker. So we know where he's going. We know how it ends up. We know what's going to happen. But now we see what led up to that mission and what he was doing. And it answers the question of how he was getting BB-8 back. Because that was one thing I mentioned throughout the series. You know, if he's BB-8's his right-hand guy, as we see in the movie, how is he going to get him back? When are we going to see that transition now, and what's going to happen there? And we see him come back and get that. And of course, as a result, Kaz winds up updating him on the mission and the information he's got. And because of that, they wound up going on this extra mission, I should say, which gets them going to what we assume at this point is Tehar. At that point, what were your now? Poe, of course, returns in a very comedic way because the show opens with Kaz trying to build a transmitter to talk to Poe and get his reports to Resistance, and Yeager's like telling him, yeah, this isn't going to work, that's not going to work. And he's like, yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's going to work. Watch. I just got to flip this button. No, not that button. This button. And he's like, Poe, can you hear me? I mean, Lone Wolf. And they start, and all next thing you know, you hear Poe responding. He thinks Poe's responding to him. He's like, wow, it's really clear. And then he turns around, and there's Poe just kind of leaning against the starfighter. Here's my question, and it's never really addressed in the episode. I want to know how Poe got on the Colossus.
Right. Apparently, CB-23 knows how to do it, because at the end of the episode, Kaz doesn't know how to do it, and Poe just says, hey, CB-23 will help you do it. And the next thing we see is, like you said, that glorious shot of Kaz on the platform and just looking up with CB-23 with those TIE fighters coming overhead. Just beautiful shot there at night. But no, I don't know. I don't know how he did it. They don't tell us. But I thought it was a great start. And just like you said, there's this humor to offset the serious stuff that they're talking about. Like I was thinking about with not only Tahar, but, you know, they go to this system in the data bank. It's called the Dassault system. And apparently that's where Tahar is. And not only are, you know, some of these planetoids cored out, but, you know, the sun is gone. So kind of a scary thing that this source of light is destroyed as well. But I like how you said it. They're doing it in a way for kids. They're softening the blow, helping them to kind of understand what they'll see in The Force Awakens. But, no, I love that start. I love Poe in this series. I didn't know how much I would, but each time he's in an episode, it just like you said, it pushes it forward and it ties in really well. And I really love that. I don't know. As a Star Wars fan, I love the interconnectivity. I love it.
Oh, absolutely. And it the interconnectivity in this series is some of the best that you can get. We had some. It just really, you know, there was some concern when the show was first announced. It's going to be this close to to Force Awakens. How much of interconnectivity are we actually going to have? But this is really just sewing it. I mean, it's literally back and forth, just sewing a picture and sewing it together into one finely tuned story, and it makes it thoroughly enjoyable. I got a feeling. Once this series is done, it's gonna do what the Clone Wars and Rebels has done for me, where if I want to sit down and watch the saga front to end, I'm going to watch Episode 1, Episode 2, The Clone Wars, Episode 3, Rebels, and Rogue One, and then Episode 1, 2, and 3. Now the Resistance, then Force Awakens, and so on. It's going to be part of, it's going to fit right in perfectly where you have to watch it. You don't have to. You're going to want to watch it to get the full story.
Oh yes. Oh yeah.
Oh yes. 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 So let's go ahead and jump here to their escape, because when they decide to go to this system and look, we see, and you mentioned it earlier while we were talking, where Kaz and or basically they're trying to smuggle off the station, get off the station in the fireball without being caught by the First Order, because as we see in all the cutscenes, there's dozens of TIE fighters flying around everywhere on patrol. There's always TIE fighters in the sky. And I think the greatest thing in the world, one of the best laughs I had was when he's like, I got an idea of how we're going to get out of here. Let's get the fireball going. And Jaeger's like, you're not going to do the Widowmaker. And Kaz is like, that's fine. I'm not even married. And then Poe's like, well, that's good, because this is going to be very dangerous.
It's perfect timing, man.
Oh, it's priceless. I love it. And the whole plan just to board the fireball, drop it down on a freighter that's flying up underneath their launch bay, and just sit on it. And then Poe's like, have you ever thought about painting this something a little less conspicuous?
Exactly.
Because there's this dull military gray freighter pulling away, with this bright yellow, green, and white racer sitting on top.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to miss.
Well, but Cass had a pretty good response. He goes, "Well, we're not. It's not a military ship. It's a racer on this, on the Colossus." So his response is correct. You know, all the racers have pretty good color, I guess, except for Griff Hallam's Black Ace. His is more inconspicuous, being black, I guess. But all the other ones are pretty colorful.
Yes, exactly. They are. They're a lot more colorful. Which, since we're talking about the color of the fireball, let's open this too. Since when does that thing have a hyperdrive?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That was the first thing I thought of when they made that jump was, since when does it have a hyperdrive? It's a racer. They're not supposed to be. It's not supposed to have. I mean, it's supposed to go fast, but it's not. I mean, it doesn't. Yeah.
Maybe Yeager had Tam install it. We'll go with that. Maybe. I don't know. This is one of those ones you just kind of. Yes, you have to go with it. I think, you know, like anything, they could have explained that, you know, but like Yeager telling him, "Hey, I put this in for you," you know, or had Tam do it, or Yeager shows Kaz how to do it. That would have been pretty cool.
But then the question becomes, where did the hyperfuel come from?
Well, right.
this was the only glaring plot hole in this episode was the hyperdrive in the fireball and everything, because we could come up with an answer, but there's always another. There's something else that's going to be wrong. So it's just, I don't know. It's the only thing that bugged me about this episode.
Understood.
So, but it was great to see the fireball off planet, and the last time we saw it off planet, it kind of sputtered and was about to explode when when Poe and the Corellian Corvette came out of hyperspace and picked it up and saved them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something they installed. Who knows? But great stuff there. Let's get into that system there. Actually, first, what we're going to do before we start talking about the system of destroyed planets is we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And we're back, everybody. Aaron and David here talking core problems, the core problems, which of course was the recent episode of Star Wars Resistance. And before we left, we were about to start talking about basically this system of dead planets that they're investigating. And I love how they're flying through and everything is just so dark and gray and dead, but yet bright enough to see throughout the episode. What was when they first jumped in and you started seeing all this destruction and death? What were your thoughts, David?
Well, yeah, just thinking about The Force Awakens and them giving us background into the development of Starkiller Base, you know, particularly with the disappearance of the star. Obviously, you know, it had been drained. Now, you know, the questions I have, just like before the break, you had some really good questions about the hyperdrive and hyperfuel and stuff. One of the questions I have about this whole process is, are they coring out some of these planetoids or moons or larger bodies to, you know, I guess part of it doesn't make sense. Are they coring it out to see if they can build stuff inside? Because, you know, for Starkiller Base, you know, it's probably built right now, you know, at this point in time. So I guess that's a question I have. And I guess Kaz asked, you know, was it for resources or something like that? In the movie, we see Starkiller Base draining a sun. You wonder if in this system they drained the sun and did a test shot, something like that. Before they do the big shot at Hosnian Prime and a few other systems, But I guess my question is why the coring out of something? Maybe they're test shots from Starkiller Base. Perhaps that's it. I don't know.
Well, I never took it as test shots. Looking at the pattern of destruction, if you notice as the planets as you're going through, you have the one that's drilled straight through, which they wind up flying through. But then you have the others, which are one is almost split in half and one half of it's shattered. The other one is like split through the middle, but broken, three quarters of it's broken away and so forth. It looked to me like they were trying to perfect their their construction techniques for Starkiller Base. So, because we don't have a time frame of when these planets were destroyed.
True. That is true.
Because if you look at Starkiller Base, they obviously had to mine the center of the planet around the equator for the weapon, and they had to drill into the planet for the actual weapon itself. So they obviously had to do core drilling to get that done. So to me, this looked more like they were trying to perfect their technique to build the base to get it done. And these were all failed attempts. So then this question comes up, is Starkiller Base one of the planets from the system?
Right, is it? Right, exactly. That would be a neat little background. Yeah, we're never told, you know, what planet they used.
Exactly, we're not. And we know it's obviously, it's got to be mobile because it's got to be able to travel to systems and drain their sun for the base. So, because you don't want to build a stationary base of that size. So it's got to have some kind of motion to it. Even though the Death Star had hyperdrive capabilities, we saw that in Rogue One. So why not Starkiller Base?
Well, exactly. No, I like what you're saying. Yeah, coring it out, because that's what they did to that. Of course, in The Force Awakens, they put that comparison up showing the size of the Death Star versus the size of Starkiller Base. So, yeah, they practiced, and it looked like they were finally getting it down to figure out how do we clear this out but not destroy the whole thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I like what you said, that whole system, DASSAL, DASSAL, that's what I was looking at in the data bank, they might have been in there quite a while ago. You know, you're right.
Because obviously everything is dead.
Yeah.
There's no life there. And with the destruction of the sun, I mean, even if they just went in and sucked the life out of the sun, at that point, nothing would have died immediately. It would have died over time. People would have frozen to death. People would have run out of food. There would have been evidence.
Well,
there would have been, I mean, because if you look, all we saw was rubble. All we saw was destruction and rubble. There was no, outside of the Tuca doll, which was a great nod to Rebels, outside in Clone Wars, outside of the Tuca doll, there was nothing there.
Yeah. Well, and I think about the children of Tahar, you know, Kel and Ayla, we have no idea. You know, how many different stops they had, how long it's been since they were home before they got to the Colossus. So, again, that could be fit within the time frame. It could have been quite a while before, you know, since that happened to them on their planet there. Or I guess it's a moon, kind of like a moon-sized planet is what Kaz calls it. You know,
yeah.
So, yeah, it could be a period of time. And, you know, months or whatever, and they get the Starkiller Base finished, and it's gearing up to drain another sun, which we see in The Force Awakens.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, and it's gonna be interesting to see where it goes, because we never get confirmation that this is where Tehar is. The only thing we have is the symbol that's on the building that they find, the palace or temple, whatever exactly it was. They have the symbol up there. which matches the symbol that was on their bracelet. So we know somehow they are connected, whether this is the planet they're from, or whether it's a religious thing, or this is a symbol of their religion and that was a temple. We don't know. There's a lot of options that could fill in. So,
yeah, agreed.
Now, one thing that was really entertaining in this episode was when the TIE fighters showed up. The whole scene with the Viper droid, then the TIE fighter showing up. To me, that was just very action packed, a lot of fun, and it had a lot of laughs. Of course, we had the Viper droid with this new design, First Order Viper droid, probe droid, which was really cool, really beautiful design. I like how they coned the bottom out instead of having just a random leg sticking out or anything like that. But it was really cool, of course, when it opened up and it launched out the what looked like the little training droids, training balls that Luke used in A New Hope. Is what those little devices look like, and they come shooting out and shooting at them. And I got a good laugh when Poe's like, kids, it's got kids.
Yeah, that was outstanding.
Oh yeah, it was great, and it was very entertaining. It was a lot of fun, very, very action packed. As Poe's trying to take out the kids that are chasing him around, and Kaz is tasked with destroying the mother droid, and BB-8, I love him. We see him use those grappler cables that we see in The Force Awakens as he shoots out and grabs the droid that's trying to escape and then attaches another one to a pillar, and he's kind of just like hanging there as it's trying to pull away. And Kaz comes running up, trips and falls, so his battle blaster goes off and he hits the right droid. But when he was actually just shooting, trying to shoot it, he couldn't hit it. Hit the broadside of a barn, but when he trips and falls, he hits what he's shooting at.
He shoots like a stormtrooper right now, I tell you the truth.
He really does, doesn't he?
I tell you, he even hit BB-8. That's why, you know, I don't know why there wasn't any damage to BB-8, because, you know, Poe leans around and says, exactly what droid are you trying to shoot? And I had to watch it, you know, that a few more times, and you can see him. He actually hits BB-8, but fortunately, for some reason, BB-8 is not damaged when he gets hit or grazed by one of Kaz's shots. But it's fun. It's an exciting sequence, that, and then getting in their ship. So yes, I love the action and adventure.
Oh, absolutely. It was very entertaining, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Got a couple great laughs out of that. And all the whole time, CB-23 has got the X-Wing up in the air, ready to go, as the TIE fighters come in. And I love the one scene as the TIE fighters first arrive, and Von Reg is coming in, and he is just blasting. And you get that view from the cockpit of what obviously would have been his view, looking out, just coming in and blasting the surface where they are. And it was, to me, it was a very reminiscent shot from A New Hope, when they're coming in and Luke's just laying into the Death Star, just blasting up pieces of the Death Star on a strafing run. And it was very, very well animated.
Oh, it was beautiful looking, incredible angles. Oh my gosh. And you even see Poe and Kaz and BB-8 hunker down behind the battle droid, or the probe droid that had gotten shot down. And then they start getting out of there. I do like how CB-23 can control that X-Wing and start to get them out of there. Just so cool looking. So cool.
Oh, absolutely. It definitely is. And then, of course, they get in their ships and they make their get up in the air. And, of course, they're being chased by the fighters. And they wind up going back through a planet core that they barely survived. The one planet that was completely drilled through. It had a perfect hole right through it. they barely survived going through their initial time because of a gravity well. But knowing the gravity well's there, they know how to beat it, so they go back in and lure the TIE fighters in after them and, of course, take out the entire squadron minus Von Reg, who manages to turn his fighter around and make his escape. And I love the fact how he referred to Poe referred to Von Reg as the Red Dog.
Yes. I do like that.
The Red Dog. I wonder if that was we know he's kind of, it's more of a nod to like the Red Baron or something like that, but Red Dog, I wonder if they're referring to like Snoopy.
Oh gosh, that would be a neat little homage, a little hidden thing. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. It's a lot, very interesting to think of and see what's going on there. Then, of course, we have the switch off after everybody escapes of BB-8 and CB-23 as they are heading, as they make the switch off. Then Poe heads off to Jakku. Very touching. Cass says goodbye as they're ejecting and switching their fighters or their droids. Now that Poe has taken BB-8 and headed off to Jakku, we know what happens when he gets to Jakku and Lord Santeca and the whole nine yards there. We know what happens. And we know he doesn't make it back to the Colossus because the events of the last Force Awakens and The Last Jedi are pretty much concurrent. They all run right into each other. So, with BB-8 gone, we have CB-23 on there. Are they do you think they're missing out on a chance to promote Bucket more?
Well, that's what I was saying. I was really surprised. I thought that would be the point, you know, that you would really bring Bucket in to be more. But that's why I was saying that it almost feels like they're really leaving Bucket to be there for Yeager, to do little things here and there for him. So it really is his droid, just like BB-8 is Kaz's. But you and I have been calling for it. We would really like to see more of him. We know Opie Pitt is more popular than Bucket. Like you said in some previous episodes, Twitter shows that, and you know, we've got our hashtag Justice for Opie Pitt, and you know, maybe we need to do Justice for Bucket. Justice meaning not get his buffer back, but actually, you know, have more action, be in the back of the fireball and doing some adventures with Kaz. But you know, we've got some seasons to come. But I don't know, with CB-23 coming in, I don't know. It doesn't feel like right now they're going to promote Bucket more than just a few little clips, which makes me sad.
Yeah, I think at this point CB-23 is actually going to become Kaz's droid at this point, because BB-8's gone. He's going to stay with Poe the rest of the time, and that's just how it's going to be. CB-23 is going to be, I think, his droid going forward. I don't foresee BB-8 coming back and switching out again, knowing what happens in the movies. I don't see that happen. I could see him coming back with Poe as a guest, but I don't see him staying at that point. Do you?
I don't either. No, I agree with you completely. And I wonder, you know, if maybe they did the switch out the way they did it is for young kids to see. Well, and even Tam talks about calling them Rollies, you know, and he comes back with a new little Rolly and no one questions this. And so I wonder if for young kids in particular, like, oh yeah, there's still a small round droid that is the sidekick to Kaz, you know, and Bucket is Yeager's droid. So I wonder if there's kind of that process going on, just a similar shape, similar size. And so it feels like a little bit more of a smoother transition, perhaps. I don't know. I could see Bucket being a smooth transition too. Yeager saying, well, hey, you know, now the BB-8's gone, you know, why don't you really need Bucket? Bucket knows the fireball better than anybody. And why don't you take him as your astromech here for a while? And but I agree. I don't think they're going to bring BB-8 back for any long period of time. And it doesn't look like, you know, unless there's some type of destruction, like a big battle and CB-23 is destroyed or something like that. But for now, I think that I agree. That's going to be his droid.
I believe so. I believe so. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. And the excuses that were given when he showed back up on the Colossus with it, like you said, Tam was calling him out, like, you know, where nobody's going to question why he comes back with this droid. And because Kaz is like, oh no, BB-8 was broke and he had to drop him off at a repair shop on Takadana, and this is my loaner droid. It's like a cell phone. It's a loaner cell phone. No, it's a loaner droid.
And, yeah.
It's crazy. And I love Neeku, because Neeku was just like he was all messed up about it.
Aw, I am going to miss my small round friend. We were bonding quite nicely.
You know, it was poor Neeku. Because he lost his friend.
All right, justice for Neeku, too. We got a whole bunch of hashtag justice for everybody.
No, it's funny, too, because it's crazy, because, you know, BB-8 was just starting to connect with everybody. Him and Bucket were just starting to get along. You know, in the last episode, when Bucket gets shocked and knocks his helmet off, BB-8's the one that picks it up and gives it back to him.
Right.
And there was some mutual respect at that point going forward. And so, yeah, it's going to be I think it's going to change the dynamic a little bit with BB-8 being gone. It'll be interesting to see how CB-23 fits into the mix there.
I think real good. And it seems like very much Justin Ridge learning from Dave Filoni. That is, you know, have a character that people recognize in BB-8, but then slowly, you know, like they did here, phase BB-8 out and let these other characters come to the forefront and have us fall in love with them. So, yeah.
So, absolutely. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out there. So we'll see definitely what happens going forward. Now, one more thing I do want to hit on before we go is, and you mentioned her already, is Tam. Tam, of course, is not happy at the end of this episode. You know, there's work to be done, and Kaz is nowhere to be around. Kaz shows up with a new droid, and she's the only one questioning where it came from. Where's the fireball? It's parked down below. Of course, Kaz has an excuse for everything. How'd you take it out? The First Order has everything locked down. I mean, she's questioning everything. I'm beginning to think that her mistrust of Kaz is going to lead her down a path that's going to get her in trouble with the First Order. I think she's going to wind up siding with... I could see her getting Kaz in trouble with the First Order by starting to report some of these things that she's seeing and she's not sure about. Because she's questioning too much of everything, and Yeager siding with Kaz, I don't think is helping the situation. What are your thoughts on Tam?
Yeah, well, and even in the mid-season trailer, you've brought this up before, we see that clip of her being taken. We see Tam being taken, and you wonder if that's after she, you know, feels like she can confide in them and say, hey, you know, this guy Kaz is doing some funny stuff here, and they just use it as an opportunity to try to take Kaz and take her. But yeah, I can see this blowing up for her. Yeager needs to step in and help her to know, you know, what's going on. Now, again, I know we got to be careful on speculation and stuff. You and I have talked about, you know, who we think maybe, you know, who could be the spy. I don't know. I think with her being taken away by them, I don't think it would be her. But you wonder with all these questions if she would be. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. It's just fun to kind of think about it a little bit, but I tend to think, yes, more along the lines of what you said, she's going to get herself in trouble by starting to talk to the First Order and Pyre and that crew. So that seems more likely.
Oh, absolutely. That's pretty much what I'm thinking is going to happen. She's going to wind up almost becoming an informant type person for them, and it's going to blow up in her face because she's going to report something that they're not going to be able to prove. Kind of like, you know, it's going to be the whole Phineas and Ferb,
yes,
sister thing. You know, Candace, the sister, always tries to bust her brothers, and the evidence is always gone when she gets there to bust them. So I got a feeling it's going to be a similar situation for Tam.
That's a good example. I love those guys, by the way. I love Phineas and Ferb.
Oh, God, I love that show. It's a great show. Great show. Oh, yeah. I love Phineas and Ferb. So, let's see. We went on a Phineas and Ferb kick now. You never know what you're going to get when you listen to Resistance Reactions. You know, sometimes we are discussing Star Wars. Sometimes we're always discussing Star Wars. Sometimes we have Star Trek references. Sometimes Back to the Future. This week, Phineas and Ferb.
That's right. That's why people need to tune in every week. They never know.
You never know. Next week, I just may start with the, instead of our opening credit song, we may just start with the Phineas and Ferb song.
It's our new podcast.
It's our new podcast. It's 104 days of Rebels of Star Wars Resistance. I could go with stuff like this, you know. It's the way my mind works. So, all right. So, Tam Trouble. I think she's going to be a source of contention going forward because of her. Not her distrust of what's going on, and mostly I don't think it's her distrust. I think it's being out of the loop. She wants to be in the loop. What's going on? And Yeager tells her there's some things you just don't need to know. You don't want to know. But I think she's her lack of information, lack of being in the loop is going to lead to trouble.
Agreed. Yeah.
Simple as that. So, yeah. All right. And of course, with that, we will wrap up our review of the core problem. David, final thoughts?
Yeah, real quick. I love the action adventure. This feels like Star Wars. I hear people talk about it all the time. Do the movies feel like Star Wars? You know, did the Clone Wars? Did Rebels? And, you know, and we go back and forth and all this kind of stuff. Do the comics feel like Star Wars? This really felt like Star Wars. I mean, just action adventure, going to really beautiful, cool locales, having dogfights in space, just great. You know, you have a probe droid. I mean, come on, just awesome. Second point, I wrote down that older and younger fans, I hope they can. How could you not enjoy this? Younger kids, how could you not enjoy this? Older fans, how can you not enjoy this as it ties in with The Force Awakens, you know, in the movies and stuff and the comics? And then just like you'd mentioned, I kind of stealing it from you, how fast the story is moving forward and tying in with the movies. I am curious, you know, with what Justin Ridge has said, that it can, you know, go up to it. And I guess maybe even past The Force Awakens into right around the time that The Last Jedi is occurring. It would be very interesting again if we could get a confirmation on the time frame between The Last Jedi and Episode 9. I mean, John Boyega was quoted as saying 1 year. He's kind of retracted that, but if that's the case, it's a very short time frame, and Resistance could be occurring along with all of it, and so that would be, wow, wouldn't that be something if they really interweave it around, you know, all three movies? That would be pretty stinking cool. And again, I've said it before, I'm so geeked up and so thankful that we get to cover this. And to look where it's going, I'm more and more excited. So, yes, all those things, those are some of my final thoughts. Absolutely love this episode.
Great thoughts. thoroughly enjoyed what you said, and I agree with a lot of it. There was a lot of fun in this episode, and there was a lot of movement in the story to see where it goes and how close it's moving to The Force Awakens as we're rapidly approaching the season finale. I do think it will have to move. Not only we know it's going to move past The Force Awakens, but being The Last Jedi is so close to they literally butt up against each other, Force Awakens and Last Jedi. It's got to move past The Last Jedi as well. And that's what I'm interested to see what happens. Because of that, I'm interested to see when they start the next season.
Right.
Because depending on how much time between The Force Awakens, or between The Last Jedi and Episode 9, how much time there's going to be between, it's going to determine how much they can do in that time frame without, because, you know, Episode 9 is coming out in December. Show will probably return September, October, roughly. So a couple months before, and you got, you know, how much are you going to be able to reveal without having spoilers for Episode 9? So it'll be interesting to see how this balances out in comparison there, because it's going to have to move past The Last Jedi, because we're talking a matter of between the end of Force Awakens and going through Last Jedi. I mean, overall, it's a matter of days at that point. You could do it, but it would be really hard to cram. If it returns at the most optimistic, let's say October, to cram 8 episodes from October and November into a few day period of the Star Wars timeline. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. There's a lot of humor in this, which I absolutely loved in this episode. One of my favorite things we didn't even address is when Kaz and Poe first got to the planet and they're walking and Kaz trips and falls and the blaster goes off and all, then he pops right back up like nothing happened, and all Poe doesn't even turn around or acknowledge a blaster shooting. He just goes, "Be careful, Kaz."
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. It's like he comes to expect this level of clumsiness from Kaz.
Fortunately, Poe didn't get shot.
Exactly. Any day not shot by Kaz is a good day. So, but then you have him tripping and falling again, and his blaster going off, and him destroying the probe droid. So, he's got a lot of humor throughout the episode. I did enjoy it. It was a very touching scene when he was saying his goodbye to BB-8 and everything, and it being, like I said, I'm just interested to see where it goes from here, because there was just so much fun in this. I love the peek into this dead world. A lot of speculation on how that happened and this dead system. We know Starkiller Base is involved or a part of it somehow, so it's interesting to see how it works out, and how the children from Tehar, or how Kel and Ayla are related to this planet that they were on, this dead moon, this dead rock at that point. So interesting to see. A lot of great things going forward. When it comes to grading the episode, we do grading every episode on a school related scale, A, B, C, D, or F. E's do not count because E is always excellent, but A, B, C, D, or F, just like if you'd have gotten your report card at school. With everything, with as great as this episode was and all the fun, I have to give it an A again. I mean, this was just a top-notch episode. The art was just mind-blowingly good from all aspects. The angles, the coloring, the darks, the lights, the scenery, the scenes, the rolling scenes were just, they were gorgeous. I would have to give it an A. David, how about you?
Oh, same here. I'm writing mine down before, you know, you and I talk. I had an A down. Last week for the new Trooper, I had an A minus. You had an A. And I enjoy this one, you know, even more. So definitely an A. I've said it, and I'm gearing up, and I hope we get an A-plus episode here at some point before, well, maybe even on March 17th, so when the season ends, season one ends. But A all the way, it wasn't even difficult for me to come up with that, no question.
Exactly. It's great minds think alike, my friend.
Right.
It's going to be great to see how it goes and where it goes, and look forward to seeing the future, what it beholds for this show. So with that, let us go through and take a look at some of the emails that y'all have sent in. Of course, all of you are going to be a part of our Casanara ship giveaway, because you did send your emails in. So let's take a look and see what we have here. Our first email here was sent in by our friend Cameron Ramos. Cameron says, I had goosebumps watching the latest episode of Resistance. The Core Problem was a great episode. Thank goodness it's a long weekend, because I was able to immediately grab my copy of The Force Awakens to watch after seeing this episode, since it leads perfectly into Poe's mission on Jakku. Poe and Kaz kept mentioning that they would see each other again soon, and while I'm assuming that means on an episode of Resistance, I would love it if they would work together in some way in episode 9. I don't care if we even see Kaz, it would just be cool enough to have the fireball come into a big screen in an epic battle with the First Order for episode 9. For me, this was another A episode. I can't believe we're getting to the end of season 1, and the end is getting closer and closer. Also, if that stuffed animal that Kaz picked up was orange, I would have freaked out thinking it was a sign of Ahsoka. That would have been epic.
Mm.
Okay, well, first off, yes, that would have been epic if it was Ahsoka. And let's talk about his email real quick, because he actually addressed something I've actually been thinking about, and I just have not vocalized. He mentions, of course, Kaz, the statement Kaz, or Poe and Kaz make about seeing each other again soon. And, of course, we know he doesn't make it back because of the events of The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. We know it's not anytime soon, per se. But the thoughts of Kaz being involved somehow in episode 9. I have my own thoughts on this, honestly, because if you look at the cast, the human cast, the alien cast, it doesn't matter. They're going to be they would be in makeup, or it would be CGI in any way, shape, or form. So it doesn't really matter that much. But the human cast, if you look at the human cast and compare the humans to the voice actors that play them, have you noticed they all look alike?
Yeah.
Christopher Sean looks like an older version of Kaz. Susie McGrath looks like an older version of Tam. Scott Lawrence,
yeah,
with some wigs would be Yeager.
Yeah. And Tordoza.
Exactly. Oh yeah. Velasco looks just like an older Tordoza. I mean, this can't be a coincidence. Hightower, who voices Captain Doza, he looks like Captain Doza. I mean, it's to me, that's almost too much of a coincidence for them not to be involved somehow. We're not saying they are. We have no insider information. But to me, just looking at their pictures and looking at the characters, it's quite a coincidence there.
Well, and if they did it, it would be like kind of what Filoni and some of the other creatives have said, is this blending together of all these different mediums. And that would be one of the ultimate blendings, taking, you know, the characters and having them in some way, shape, or form in episode 9. I like what Cameron said about, you know, possibly even hearing the name, just like we heard, you know, General Syndulla in Rogue One. So it's, you know, there is a precedent set for it. We hear a cartoon character's name, you know, in Rogue One.
Well, not only that, we see the ghost. We see Chopper.
Right.
I mean, we see the ghost multiple times, even in combat. This is nothing. I mean, that was a very nice stitch in the fabric of continuation. If this type of crossover happened, where we have the voice actors coming onto live action to portray their characters, that's not even a stitch in connectivity. That's welding it together.
Right.
Okay, that's just one giant piece of that becomes the puzzle, not a piece of it. That becomes the whole puzzle at that point. I would love to see if what would happen if that actually did. But yeah, very interesting, Cameron. I'm glad you brought that up, because it is something that's been on my mind for a while. I just hadn't said anything about it, because they all resemble the characters they play. And they've all done live action before. Just a little too much of a coincidence, you know. I don't know. We'll see. It will be interesting to see how it goes. You know, we got Celebration coming up in April. We'll probably see our first trailers there and have some more announcements and learn more about episode 9. Learn more about Resistance Season 2, hopefully. Fingers crossed. We'll see. So, but anyway, let's get back to our emails, because we do have several others. Our next one is from our friend Andy Billard. Andy writes, I thought the show this week was great. Any reunion between Poe and BB-8 just makes you feel good. I'm also glad that Kaz knows he now has a way on and off the planet now if needed. Knowing the events of The Force Awakens are coming up quickly is super exciting, and I'm anxious to see how the Colossus reacts. My hope is that the remaining episodes dive further into the events there and involve the Aces more. It's definitely picking up, and it's exciting to see more of the story. I completely agree, Andy. I definitely want to see more of the Aces. I mean, that's, you know, the series was sold as a racing series, and there's going to be a lot of racing. We haven't had a lot of racing. I want to see more of these Aces here. What are your thoughts, David?
Oh, definitely. You know, that's a couple things we've said. We definitely wanted to see more of the Aces, more of Bucket. But right now, they have been holding that at bay. You know, I mean, obviously, you and I are hoping for more seasons of this, season 2, season 3, stuff like that. And they could really have that in their back pocket to develop, you know, the Aces and flying even more as time passes. You know, I could see a whole storyline in season 2 of Tam becoming one of the Aces, because she's, you know, so, you know, frustrated and wants to get back up in the air. So I have a good feeling we're going to see a lot more of them. But right now, yes, not a lot.
So basically what you're saying is that would be their ace in the hold?
Oh, groaner.
What in Castellan is that?
Yeah. So, yeah, bad pun time. That was Bad Puns with Aaron. Join us next time when we come up with some more bad puns. I couldn't help that one. That one was just, you know, wide open, begging to be screeched. Yes, the Aces are their ace in the hold.
I hope our listeners, they'll still love us. these groaners, you know.
I'm just a...
You are one funny son of a Slimo.
Yes, I am. Anyway, let's go to our next email from Soundwave Senpai. He writes, things are starting to get very serious in the series, and the core problem reflects that. Seeing the devastation that Starkiller Base left behind brings a whole new feeling to the show. It's also exciting to see elements come together to get us ready for the events of The Force Awakens. I'm really looking forward to see this show work in tandem with the movies. I'm keeping my fingers crossed for some Kylo Ren appearances. Great episode, as usual. I completely agree with that. Man, wouldn't it be awesome to see Kylo Ren show up in this?
Definitely. Now, his name has been mentioned.
Yeah.
So, yes, it would be really neat to see. I mean, I think they could animate him and the sword, his lightsaber, in such a beautiful way. Absolutely.
Oh, that'd yeah.
Be great. I'm with Soundwave Senpai. Yep.
I definitely agree. It will definitely be fun for sure. I think it would be really cool to see him. I'm trying to think of how that would work into the storyline, but yeah, man, that would be absolutely awesome to have Kylo Ren, Ben Solo show up on the Colossus. That would just be great. It would definitely make for an interesting episode. My only concern, of course, is, you know, usually where Kylo goes, death and destruction goes. So at that point, he shows up on the Colossus, somebody's going to die.
Well, right. I think about how Dave Filoni incorporated Vader into Rebels, and like I said, very sparingly, and that's how you just have to do it here. Right, I would think,
yeah.
With Kylo Ren, sparingly, and maybe it's a force push off the side of the Colossus, like the purple guy had thrown someone off. So maybe that would be a more palatable death for Disney Channel.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. It would definitely be interesting to see how that plays out. So, two more emails here, guys, and I think you know who they're from, y'all.
Yeah,
here we go. Aaron and David, it is I, Corporal Flux. I'm disappointed in Von Reich and his fellow TIE fighter pilots for letting Poe Dameron and that kid, what's his name, Kaz, get away. They now know more than I ever wanted. I will speak with Von Reich personally. After that, I may speak with you both, or I may speak with both of you resistance sympathizers.
Flux is losing it. He's not impressed with Von Reich letting them get away again.
He's very emotional. He's up and down.
He is. It's. You know, I was looking at the DM that he sent us, and he puts quotes around the words "speak with Von Reich" and "speak with you and me." I think he's got bad intentions for you and me, us resistance sympathizers.
You never know.
So, yeah.
We'll see what happens here. Well, our next one here, let's go ahead and read that. He goes, it is me, Willif Tarkin. I mean Willard Tarkanis. Just when I think Flux is getting his first order in order, he lets the Resistance learn way too much about their operation. So pathetic. Poor Flux needs so much guidance. Well, it will all work out for me in the end. I will get my empire built.
He knows how to let other people do the work like Krennic and then take over. So he's letting Flux build this First Order thing up a little bit. He'll move in.
Of course.
Tarkin as well, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely interesting. And thank you, everybody, for writing in. Of course, everybody, of course, will go into our Kaz Sinara ship drawing and giveaway for the Kaz and Sinara action figures. Now remember, of course, you can enter the drawing just by sending us your thoughts on the latest episodes of Star Wars Resistance. Every week you write in will be one entry into the drawing. That will go all the way up to the episode before the season finale. Then, of course, we will make our announcement of the winner in our season finale episode. Of course, the season finale airs March 17th, though. Make sure you are participating and you are writing in. And if you do want to do that, multiple ways you can share your thoughts. The easiest way is just to DM us, send us a direct message, DM via Twitter or Facebook, Twitter at Resist Reactions, or Facebook, just search us up there, Resistance Reactions. You'll be able to pull us up, send us messages, interact with us, talk about the shows. Yeah, it's a great way to do that, so check that out there. Also, of course, you can email us if you prefer, don't want to do the social media thing, and you want to email resistancereactions@coffeewithkenobi.com is the place to do that. You can send it to us, and we, of course, will count that as your entry as well. So a lot of ways you can enter. So make sure you are getting your entries in. Time is running out. We only are a few episodes left before the end of the series, or end of the season, excuse me. So time's a ticking.
That's right. Get them in.
Get them in.
But how are we going to communicate at any given moment, Kaz?
Well, that's a great question. If they want to communicate with you and I, David, people want to know how to do that. How would they talk Star Wars with you?
Oh, definitely. Two different ways. They've pretty much been the same for quite a long time, so that's a good thing. Twitter, it's @David_Motters. And there is the email, dmotters@coffeewithkenobi.com. And I just want to give a quick shout out. You know, we were talking about if you want to talk Star Wars and Star Wars Resistance, definitely take a listen to the most recent Coffee with Kenobi with Dan Z interviewing Kazuda Ziono himself, Christopher Sean. That was a lot of fun. And definitely a big recommendation from us at Resistance Reactions to listen to that. Dan did a great job, and so did Christopher Sean.
Oh, no, absolutely. You beat me to the punch on that one. Yeah, the latest episode of Coffee with Kenobi, our flagship show, hosted by Dan, did host Christopher Sean. It was a phenomenal interview. Great insight, a lot of fun. So check that out. I'll make sure there's a link in the show notes there, so take a look there to make sure you find that episode. So if you want to talk Star Wars with me, the best way to do that, of course, is on Twitter, at @TAHarris121079. You can look me up on Twitter there. Or, of course, you can email me, aharris@coffeewithkenobi.com. So make sure you check that out. Before we close everything up, I do have one more thing we need to go over. We don't have any creature corners this week because there were no creatures in the episode outside of, you know, the ones we already know about, like Niku. But we do have a Niku saying of the week. Now, of course, Niku did not talk much, so you could pretty much guess what this is. But, yeah, this was just a great Niku moment, you know. He has his one-liner, which just fits perfectly. And was, as soon as I heard it, I'm like, yep, this is it.
Kaz, where did you come from? And I mean just now, not biologically.
thank you, Niku. That was Niku's saying of the week. I don't think we want to know where Kaz came from biologically. So, anywho, we got some great times coming up ahead. A few episodes left. Make sure you get your feedback in so you can participate in the drawing. We can't wait to give these things away. They're gorgeous figures, and I already got some ideas for our next giveaway. So this won't be the last one. So make sure you are subscribing to our feed. Wherever your podcasts are, if you go through iTunes, make sure you click subscribe and leave us some feedback. You know, leave us a review, leave us some feedback. We'd love to see some of those start rolling in. So check that out. That would be awesome. Also, if you remember us, David and I, from our previous show, Rebels Reactions, when we revisited or we reviewed the episodes of Star Wars Rebels, we are going to have a special Rebels Reactions coming out March 5th. Of course, if you've been following Twitter or anybody, our friend over at the Wookiee Gunner, Jonna Maria Macias, has got the ball rolling on a hashtag Rebels Remembered March 5th. Of course, the one-year anniversary of when Rebels went off the air. So we will be doing a special Rebels Reactions. Now, I'm going to get tongue-tied and mess our closing up here because I'm mentioning Rebels Reactions. But we're going to do a special Rebels Reactions where we are going to go through and review our top five episodes of Rebels. And we're going to have a special guest with us reviewing their top five episodes as well. So you'll have to tune in and find out who that guest is. It's somebody who loves Rebels just as much as David and I do. So it's going to be so much fun. I am so totally looking forward to this. So if you want to participate in that, send us your Rebels ideas. Send us your favorite Rebels episodes. You can send us via DM, and we will, or email, and we will definitely include those in the episode as well. So a lot of great stuff to look forward to coming up, right, David?
Oh my gosh, I'm stoked for that. I'm so glad we got that special guest, and you and I have been going back through the different seasons and trying to narrow it down, which is just very difficult. So it's a good problem to have, but I am so excited about what we have coming up, including that show, as well as getting through the final episodes of season one. There's a lot of great Star Wars coming up.
Yes, there definitely is, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So stay tuned for that. If you're subscribed to our Resistance feed, our Resistance Reactions feed, you are also subscribed to the Rebels Reactions feed, because it is one and the same. So when that episode is released March 5th, it will show up in your feed. So sit back and enjoy. So with that, David, thank you so much for joining us. It has been a lot of fun. Thank you, everybody, for listening in to another episode of Resistance Reactions. Remember, this is the Resistance podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi, unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along. Move along.